This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I am obviously Emma, and I am originally from Scotland, and I live down in London and work as a GP. And I have trich, so hair pulling. I've never, thankfully, had any other BFRBs, but mainly all from my hair. And I've probably had that since I was a teenager. I used to really like stroking my hair, like as a self-soothing mechanism. And I think when I then went to university and had a really stressful time, I started hair pulling, and I honestly had no idea. So yeah, that's where it all begins. That's like probably my teenage years and the hair on my head.
And when did you find out that there was a name for this behavior you were doing?
So interestingly, like when I was at medical school, it wasn't like something that they really, it was like one of these things where I think we were in a dermatology lecture and there was like one slide on it. And it was like people pull their hair, their eyelashes. And then it was kind of like, yeah, the treatment for that is like therapy. And then it kind of went on to the next thing. And I remember just sitting there and then just like without realizing that I was pulling my hair. But you know what? Like even at medical school with having that in front of me, I still didn't give it a name. I'm not really sure why. I think I just was so stressed with things that were going around me that I just didn't think about it. I just carried on doing it. And surprisingly, it was only about maybe like 3 years ago that I was sat there chatting to some, because people would comment on me touching my hair all the time. Like they would call it like the Emma hair poop. Like they'll, if someone's in front of me, they'll like do like a little movement, like I'm stroking my hair. And like they're like like almost emulating me, and they don't mean it in a nasty way, but like it's a known thing. Everyone knows that I touch my hair. And it wasn't until someone, I was at a concert and someone said to me, "Oh, you've got gorgeous hair," and someone else I knew that was a doctor said to me, "Yeah, she'd have a lot more hair if she didn't touch it all the time." And they went, "Oh, there must be a name for that." And then the doctor went, "Yeah, trichotillomania." And it wasn't until that time, 3 years ago, that I actually was like, oh my God, that's what I've got. Which sounds weird, but yeah.
How did you feel kind of in that moment? Was it like, you know, when someone's kind of calling you out in front of other people, there could be a few different feelings that are going through our mind.
Yeah, I mean, I have had people kind of call me out for touching my hair since I was a teenager. So that, you know, that part doesn't upset me, but I think it was just when someone gave it the name, which obviously I knew about, it made me feel like a bit ashamed, which I now know I don't need to feel ashamed about it. But at the time, I just felt this like overwhelming kind of sadness and feeling of embarrassment come over me. And yeah, I think it was just weird for me because obviously, like, I'm a medical practitioner. So I know these things and I could diagnose it in someone else, but in myself, I still hadn't given it a name. So yeah, it was a weird feeling.
Before you found out the name and when you were a teenager, did you ever confide in a friend, teacher, or family member and say, "Hey, I'm kind of doing this thing and it's hard for me to stop"?
No, I don't think I did. Oh, well, I never like confided, but what would happen is I would go to the hairdresser. And my hairdressers were a family friend, and the girl that I would see was really lovely, and she would be like cutting my hair, and then she'd get to the bottom of my hair, like right at the back at the nape of my neck, and she'd just find these like tiny little, like if I had regrowth, she'd find these tiny little hair like ponytails. And because I actually have a lot of, like, I'm very blessed with the amount of hair I've got, it's quite easy for me to disguise it if there's an issue. So I think probably like the first time was probably when I was like 16, and it was our family friend who's a hairdresser. And I kind of said to her, like, oh, yeah, I touched my hair. And to be honest, she was like so chill about it and didn't make a big deal about it. So she was like, cool, well, we'll just cut that bit a little bit. And then she just carried on. So I never then really felt the need to kind of go and tell anyone, if that makes sense. But it was apparent to people. And I think people would just take the attitude of like, stop touching your hair. And because I had so much hair, it wasn't obvious that I was pulling it quite so much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sometimes you hear kind of horror stories of being at the hairdresser and they see the spots and they go, "Oh my gosh, what is this?" But you
Yeah.
kind of had a different experience. Yours was a little more relaxed, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it is nice because it's like it's weird. And I have to say that every hairdresser I've ever had since has been so nice, and I've never had any hairdresser make me feel ashamed, which I know is which is the thing that people are dread, like people dread going to the hairdresser with trick. But mines have always been really nice, and that's probably why I go back to the same ones. But yeah, because of my trick, I hair pull a lot, and I tend to pull in certain spots as we all do. And I think predisposed to getting cysts in my head, like pilar cysts. And because of that, I've had quite a few removed, which then leads to more bald spots, which then lead to me being more stressed about my hair. So, you know, and they've not always gone as well as others. So my hairdresser sees scarring on my head and regrowth and, you know, balder areas, and I've never had any of them be anything but nice to me about it. So, but I think also I'm so open to them that that maybe helps. I don't know. It's a bit of a different experience.
And you know, you are not the first person that I've heard with the pilar
I
cysts.
think you can say either, but like I say pilar, but yeah.
So, can you tell me a little bit more about that? I don't personally have any experience with it, but I know, like, from just talking to other people, that that is a common thing.
Yeah, so basically like pilar just means a hair follicle, so and specifically on your head. So people can get like sebaceous cysts anywhere in their body, but the ones that kind of in basic terms on your head are called pilar cysts. And some people get them, there's like a genetic predisposition to them. So if you have family members that have had them, you're probably going to get them. But they also think there's a theory that it's to do with damage to the hair follicle. So if you've ever had like an operation, or if you bumped your head, or you have a scar, then you're more likely to get the cysts. But my kind of working theory, and my dermatologist and trichologist theory, is that I, from my hair pulling, have damaged the hair follicle and caused these cysts, because they only come up in the areas that I pull. So I have none on the right side of my head, just the left side of my head. I think that would be too weird of a coincidence. So yeah, they're like slow growing, they're like little cysts. But obviously, if you spend your whole time touching your head, which thankfully I'm not doing so much of anymore, but when you do, when you find them, it's really stressful because you then freak out. So yeah.
And then the process would be to like get them surgically removed.
Yeah, so you know, there's like a toss up between, do you get it removed when it's small, or do you leave it to be a little bit bigger because it's easier for them to remove. And if you leave it when they're too small, they can be difficult to get rid of, and then they grow back. But the kind of risk benefit of that is, yes, you'd remove the lump, but then you'd be left with a scar, and no hair grows on your scar. So it's like, do you just leave them, and if they're not bothering you, fine, or do you get them removed? And what's really interesting is one of my friends, she gets them. She doesn't pull her hair out, but she gets them, and like hers is much bigger than mine, and it just doesn't bother her because she doesn't touch her head. But because I've been so used to spending the last like 20 years touching my head, it causes me more distress. And the hair that grows around them is always, you know, the nice crispy hairs. So you want to touch it even more. So it's like, it's like a catch 22, because you're like, I don't want this bump because I don't like the bump on my head and it makes me feel weird. But if I then touch it and pull the hair out, I'm more likely to get it worse. It's going to get worse. And then if I get it removed, I'm going to have a bald patch, which I feel horrible about. And then it's just like a whole shame cycle, basically.
So you mentioned that you mostly pull from the left side. Are you right-handed? Is it your non-dominant hand that you pull with?
Yes, which is that a thing? Like, is that nor like, well, not normal, but is that like common? Because I was always like, oh, it'll probably be on my right hand side because I'm dominant, but I don't.
Well, I'm the same as you. I see people
Yeah.
that there's no, they pull with both, like 50-50, but I think it's more rare for people to pull with their dominant hand because, it's always doing
Wow.
something. Whereas your non-dominant, hey, it's has some
Yeah.
free time, so let's maybe feel around.
That makes sense. That makes complete sense. Yeah. So yeah, no, I am right-handed and I pull with my left hand the majority of the time.
And have you ever pulled from other areas besides on your scalp?
No, what is interesting is I think at one point to try and combat the hair pulling, I did sit. I mean, I know loads of people that do this, so I'm not sure it's just, unique to us as tricksters, so to speak. But I would then like cut my like split ends. And then at one point, I remember like I'd pull hair out with tweezers, like obviously eyebrows, not so much, but like other areas, like I'd pull hair out with them, which was weird. Now I say it out loud, but I was like trying to avoid touching my head. So I'd do that as an alternative measure.
Especially like the bikini line,
Oh my
forget
God.
about
Yeah.
it.
So satisfying.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say
Yeah.
that. I was like, I'm just gonna wait and see if that's what you come back with. But that is literally where I mean. Like, it's just so like the feeling of it coming out, you just be like, oh, yes.
The hairs themselves are thicker than,
Yeah.
and then also like the root and everything. Yeah, it's a lot of people love, and they're scared to talk about it, but a lot of people will go down there, and it's somewhere that people aren't really seeing as often or ever, so it kind of gives
Yeah.
you that like little bit of freedom.
Yeah, and I think because you spend, like as women, although we don't have to, but like a lot of women spend a lot of time removing body hair, it doesn't seem like such a weird thing. Like people would be like, oh yeah, I removed, like, I like tidied up my bikini line. No one would think that's weird. Yes, they might be like, oh, using tweezers, like that's a bit weird. But I know loads of people that have done that and they don't have trichotillomania. So like, I think it's almost, even though we don't talk about it as much, if you then did talk about it, people would find that more socially acceptable because it's in your bikini line, if you know what I mean.
What do you do with the hair? First of all, let's go back. When you are searching for a hair, can you walk us through that process for you, like what you're looking for and things like that? And then what do you do with the hair after it has been removed?
Right. So it tended, so it was always on the left-hand side, and then a lot of it was around my parting. So I'd like cock my head to the side, which obviously ends in a sore neck. And then I'd just be like searching for like individual hairs. And my hair is quite thick, but it's the classic, like you want something really wiry, like a bit crispy. And then, like these are in the days that I wasn't aware of it. Like I would then like go for that hair. And then, if you get a bulb, like obviously amazing, the classic, like you'd feel it in your mouth because you're like, for whatever reason, that's satisfying. And then I don't really, do you know what? Like, I don't know. I definitely would sometimes bite the bulb off with my teeth. I know I would definitely do that. But what I did afterwards, like, I'm sure sometimes there'd be like a little pile of them, and then I'd like look at how like thick and wiry they were, which, yeah. Other times, if I was like just kind of like touching my hair or whatever, running through, I'd end up with like a pile of hair that had just come out like on my lap, and I'd chuck that, off. Like if I was in the car, for example, I'd have a pile I'd like put out the window or whatever. But I don't think I've got much of a ritual after I've, sorry, once I've done like the pulling out and I've like put it in my mouth and stuff, I don't think I've got much of a ritual after that.
Do you find that there are places in your house or in your car where you think, okay, I'm probably going to be pulling a lot here?
Yeah, I think if I'm like a passenger in the car in the front seat, I will like touch my hair way more. In my house, not so much. I've got an area that I do my hair. So, like, obviously, if you're like brushing it or drying it, you have more hair there. But I wouldn't say the house I have like a specific kind of area, it's more what I'm doing. So like if I'm at work and I finished my clinic and I'm doing admin, for example, so I'm just sitting in front of a computer, that is the worst time. And if I feel like I've got some kind of time pressure, so I've only got so much time to do something, that is when, like at my desk, that is when it will ramp up. Any kind of stress or time pressure, that's when it'll be happening. Any stressful phone, like conversation, that's when it'll be happening.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like, and tell me if you agree with this. Sometimes when I say I'm trying to draft an email, right? Maybe it's an important email. When I'm pulling, I'm like, it's almost like clearing my thoughts. I don't know, like, you know what I mean?
1,000,000%. I get that. I totally get that. Like, it's like you got so many things going through your head. And probably, like, let's be honest, most of us with this have probably got an element of bit of like, I've got OCD. I know there's a big link there. Probably loads of us have got ADHD. Like, do you know, like, so probably we do have that kind of underlying, you know, like, I don't know what the right word is, but kind of hyperness going on in our brain. And then when you're doing that, it's almost like that kind of energy that's been going around and you've not sure what to do is then like focused on your ha in your hand with what you're doing. So it then allows you to kind of clear the way. Like, I don't know if that's a very good ex explanation, but it's almost like everything has then just all the energy's gone into your hands so that you can then do what the tasks in front of you.
Have there been times where you've noticed that your pulling has lessened for whatever reason? Like things are growing back, maybe you haven't pulled as often.
Yes, but they've always been times that I have made conscious effort. So I will have periods in my life where, you know, generally related to the pilar cysts when I've had them removed, where afterwards I'm then like, right, I've spent loads of money getting these removed. This is the time. Like, I think probably at some points I've put a lot of pressure on myself, but I'm a kind of goal orientated person and I like having like a challenge or homework or goals to like aim to. So after those kind of moments, I've then said to myself, like, Emma, if you keep doing this to the same level and you treat yourself so badly every time you do it in your head, then you're going to feel really guilty in the future. So let's try and see what we can do to make this better for you so that you feel better in your hair. And since I've made those kind of changes, that's when I've noticed, like probably over the last 3 years, that's when I've noticed the biggest change, which I can tell you about. I'm sure we'll get onto
Tell me about it
it. So basically, once I had them like removed, I remember like I just had so many, and I was like, oh, I wonder why I'm getting this. And then, you know, the trick, like the person said about it to me, and then I was like, oh my gosh, yes. And I then had this thyroid problem, and I had overactive thyroid, and it honestly was horrific. And I had to start this medication. And with thyroid issues, when they happen, about 2, 3 months later, you can have some hair loss, or the medication you're taking can cause you to have hair loss. So I had a really bad period of hair loss, and I just felt like horrific. And I went to a trichologist in London and spoke to them about everything. And obviously they deal with hair, like that is their like their specialism. And they were so nice. And we got to talking about my hair pulling. And that was like kind of the first time where it was like I kind of properly spoke about it. And they then said, right, let's see you, like, you know, semi-regularly every 6 months, and let's put a plan in place to try and get you to a place with your hair that you are happy. Yes, you've got lots of hair and it's going to grow back and all this kind of stuff after the thyroid issue, but this isn't about what anyone else thinks about you, because I think someone sees me and they're like, what do you mean you've got a problem with your hair? You've got so much of it, and that makes you feel even worse. But when I then went and spoke to her, she then like suggested a few different things.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
And then at that point, that's when everything started to fall in place. So I then spoke to my family members about it, and I said to them, you all know I do this, but this is what it's called, and I really want to try and get on top of it. I spoke to people at work about it. I bought myself like so many fidget spinners. It wasn't true. And then about a year ago, I think I saw the Habit Aware like bracelet or watch or whatever it's, I don't know what the technical term is, but the wristband. And I then saw that there was an app for the Apple Watch, and I hate wearing things on my wrists, but basically my brother's been trying to like not bully, but pretty much bully me into getting an Apple Watch because he swears by his. And so for my birthday in September, I decided to get the Apple Watch, and literally the main reason I got it was so that I could download that app. And obviously it's slightly different to the Habit Aware because it's not 24-hour monitoring, but honestly, like, it's made such a big difference, because as soon as I'm in a stressful situation or I'm doing blood results at work or anything, like on the bus or something, I just pop it on, and it's like my friend there, like pulling my hand back down for me. The other thing that probably has helped is that I've been slightly unlucky in love, shall we say, but I've met my boyfriend about 7 or 8 months ago, and I was like really scared to tell him about it. But at this point in my life, I was like, I've got nothing to hide from anyone. So I told him about it, and he completely accepted it. And now if I'm in like a stressful situation or like we're trying to get somewhere, as soon as he sees me putting my hand up to pull my hair, he will literally just hold it and pull it back down. Like, he'll just hold my hand. And I feel like he does that physically when he's around me, but my Apple Watch and the software does that when I'm on my own. If that makes sense. It feels like someone's holding my hand.
Listeners, I promise we didn't pay her to say this. You know, having they sponsor the podcast, you know that?
I found that out after I signed up to your podcast, but they have nothing to do with that. I have no affiliations to them.
That's amazing. I love the Keen Light. I love the Apple Watch app. I think it's so nice. It's a little different, like you said, but it's so discreet too. I mean, I have the Keen too. I've had both colors and I've worn that no problem. But for people who aren't as maybe open as us, this Keen Light, I mean, it is a game changer, really.
Oh, it's amazing. And I think I talk to so many people about it, and I can show them straight away. I can literally just be like, let me just open the app. Look, this is what it is. And like every time I go like this, and I'm like, put your hand there, and it vibrates. And they're like, oh, wow. And so they can literally see straight away. Like, I don't have to explain to them to look at something on my, I don't have to show them something on my phone or like log into something to show them how it works. I can just be like, this is literally it. So yeah, like that has, like, honestly, like, probably my partner being really accepting, and kind of when I'm subconsciously doing it, kind of being really kind about it and holding my hand, is the exact same thing that I get from the Keen Light. But just one is a person, and the other is my watch buzzing at me, basically. And also, like, I was a bit like, oh, is this going to be re like a really like annoying buzz? Like, is it going to like electrocute my arm? But it doesn't, so so that's quite nice.
Yeah, it's gentle. You know that I think so many of the portrayals of trichotillomania and even the snapping the rubber band technique that people used to tell us to do, it was a lot of like violent, like pain inflicting, and it's just like not to me. To me, hair pulling is like a gentle behavior. I don't know. Tell me your thoughts.
I think so. And I think it's like it's a way of self-soothing, right? Like, it's not like a lot of it can come from touching your hair, because it's something that people do when you're stressed. When you're a kid, like, someone touches your hair, and stroking your hair is very, very soothing. And I think for a lot of people, it can come out of that. Like, I know myself, that's how I would self-soothe as a kid when I had like you know, if I was getting bullied or like all these different things, I would stroke my hair because it made me feel better. And I think there's something there that it probably tips off, it probably tips over into pulling. But yeah, I don't, I've never like, you know, like a rubber band technique or like, it feels almost like punishing yourself for something that's not your fault. And I just don't think it, I just don't think it's probably the best way to go about it. I'm sure if it helps people, then that's great. But I think punishing myself with trick or being nasty to myself about it has never, ever had any positive outcome for me. So.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I mean, that's like the first thing that like I feel like our instincts or like the adults around us were like, stop that, stop that. And then you're like mean to yourself and you're like, I'm just pulling more now. Like, this is not helping me at all.
Yeah, the only time that I've ever found it's helped is so like I've got a group of women at work who are like my mum, my work aunties and my work mum. And I told them about it. And when I bought the watch, I said to them, look, I'm working in an office now because normally I work as a GP. So a lot of the time I'm in my room by myself. Whereas this other job that I have is in an office. And I said to them, look, I have this thing. You've probably seen me touching my hair. And they were like, yep. And I was like, I really want to try and be kind to myself and get on top of this to a point where I don't feel so bad. So FYI, this is what I've got. And if you see my touch or my hair too much because I'm in a stressful meeting or I'm in a trance, you have my permission to come and tell me off. And it wasn't like a telling off, like a punishment type thing. It was more like if you see this out of the corner of your eye, because if I saw someone doing that out of the corner of their eye, it would probably annoy me. But I was like, look, you have permission to come and tell me. And it's been so nice because these women are just like completely accepting of it. And they just come over and go, Emma. And then I'm like, oh gosh, I didn't even notice. And then, yeah. And then, like, you know, when I've gone a specific period of time without hair pulling, I've told them. And like, they've had a little mini celebration. And it's like funny to me that actually, when you're super open about it, most people actually genuinely are really nice. But when you're not so open about it and you're hiding it, people will say comments that make you feel worse. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I find that.
I have noticed that, and it's interesting because I also think the way that we're like carrying ourselves, like for example, when I was a teenager and younger, I would like avoid eye contact. I was kind of skittish. Like I was something was up, so people were like drawn to look at me and be like, "Why is she acting this way?"
Yeah.
Whereas now I will maybe have more missing eyelashes than I did back then, but because I feel like confident and like accepting, nobody even. No notices. Whereas before, I think it was like more obvious because I'm like touching my hair so right to make sure it's not poking out or whatever. Now I just don't care. So I don't know. It's like when I became more accepting, it's like I thought more people would say things to me and notice, but it's been the opposite.
I think people like, I don't mean that people don't care in like a kind of ethical way, but like people genuinely don't care. Like, and if they do, they've probably like are a certain type of person. Like, generally, people have got so many things going on in their lives that they're not going to stop and like, you know, point something out to you and be nasty about it. They probably like just getting on with their day, which I find interesting because something that's interesting to me is on when I was 2 years old, I fell over and I scarred my eyebrows. And I actually spent like a lot of my childhood, I had people being like, oh, have you like burned your eyebrows off? Have you done this? Have you done that? And I used to like grow my hair to cover them. And I'd be like so like self-conscious about it. And then I got to an age where I was like, oh, I literally don't care. Like nobody else cares. And it's so funny. Like hardly anyone notices unless you point it out. And I think it's the same thing with the hair on your head sometimes, like you really worry about it so much more than other people. And actually, I sit there sometimes when I'm getting the underground in London and I'm looking around me and I'll be looking at people's scalp, which I know sounds really, well, it probably doesn't sound weird to you, but I'll be looking at people's scalp and I'll be like, oh, they don't have any scars or they don't have any bald patches. Or sometimes I'll look at someone's hair and be like, they have really thin hair. And then I'm like, why does it, nobody cares. I'm like, I don't care. They don't like, it doesn't make any difference to anyone else. So why am I spending so much energy worried about what other people think?
Yeah, and I think too, when you're open, and I do want to ask you about what like how the conversation went with your coworkers, because I know people that I've spoken to are nervous to bring it up at work. So I would love to hear that. But it's like when you're open about it and you tell people, they either know somebody or they do it. Like it's a lot more common than people
Exactly.
think. No one just talks about it at all.
I think that's the thing that the reason I probably, once you've spoken to one person, it's easier to talk to other people because, I spoke to someone, one of my friends who has OCD, and she then was like, oh my God, like I pick all my skin and like look at my hands, like look how much I pick them. And then, I spoke to one of my other friends and I said to her, and she was like, oh my gosh, when I'm stressed and I was going through this thing at work and da 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 da, I pulled out so much of my hair. And obviously there's levels, right? There's hair pulling, and then there's trichotillomania. But I think you don't wanna, what's the word? You don't wanna, like, everyone is valid, like everyone's feelings valid. You don't wanna invalidate someone just because they don't pull out their hair all the time, But once you start opening up about it, it turns out loads of people pick their skin when they're having stressful times, or they just can't help it, like biting all of the, skin and the nails away from like their hands, or they pull their eyelashes, and they're like, pretty much everyone I know has an experience of doing something similar. It's just in different levels, shall we say.
How did you go about telling all your coworkers about it?
So I guess, like, obviously I work in medicine, so you would think that we're all medics and we should be super open about things. But obviously we're human like anyone else, so people still have their preconceived ideas. But all of my friends at work didn't even kind of bat an eyelid about it. They were really accepting, because I've already told them I have OCD, and they already know like the slight, inner workings of my brain. Because basically when I was younger, I didn't used to be so open about things because I was worried about being a doctor and having, as my boyfriend calls me, like a neuro spicy brain, shall we say. And I was really worried about being open about things. And then I was like, why? Like, I'm a human. And it completely like changed. So now I've gone from not telling anyone anything to telling everyone probably too much. And so they were all kind of like, okay, like what would you like? Is there anything we can do? And then I told them about my, what, like, different things I do, and if they see me doing something, then tell, like, all of these kind of things. And that was in like a GP setting. They were all really, really, really lovely and just kind of accepted it. And like, they just know how I am as a person. Whereas going into like a new workplace in an office where the people I work with are not medical, like they're not medical, they work in a medical field, but they are not healthcare professionals, I was kind of worried about telling them a bit more. But by the point I did, I'd like known them for a few months, and we got on well, and we would share things about what we were up to, or where we were going on holiday, or how we felt about a different thing. And I just kind of was like, do you know what? I'm just going to tell like two of you that I speak to the most, because why not? And if they're the people that I think they are, they're going to be so like chill about it. And they were. And I think, like, people have preconceived ideas, but generally, you might not know what the reaction's going to be like, but if the people are worth having in your life, they're probably going to react in a more positive way. So I don't really tend to tell people. I just don't. I don't know. I don't want to sound harsh, but if I don't respect someone, then I'm probably not going to tell them. Whereas if I respect and trust someone, I'm going to tell them, and they'll probably give me the response that's positive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to know like there is a line between like I am an open person. I talk about it on the internet. I interview other people. I love talking about it, but there are times where I don't. Like where there are people that I've met and I'm like, "You know what? Not you." Like and that's okay. You're allowed to not tell everybody everything.
Yeah, I think someone once told me, don't ask a qu I'm trying to think of the exact quote, but it was like, don't ask a question from a person that you won't like the answer from. So like, you just know, like, you're opening yourself up to something that's going to make you feel bad if you ask a certain person. And generally, those people are not people that you really are spending lots of time with in your life. So why do they need to know anyway? So, and I also think there's maybe like, I mean, I've not really thought about this before, but I think because I am medical, I hope people trust, like, I hope people trust me, but I think because I'm medical, if I've been speaking to my non-medic friends, they trust my medical opinion, if that makes sense. So I think they know that I'm not just like making this up, like it's a legit thing. Because I kind of wish they would come up with a better word than trichotillomania, because I think the mania part just makes it sound like you're crazy. And there's lots of terms like that. Like, you know, they used to call women, like hysteria comes from the word like hist, which means like the womb in Latin. So they used to say hysteria was when you were having hormonal changes. So like if someone says you're hysterical, it has connotations to women and being like on your period and stuff. Obviously, that's a completely different topic, but trichotillomania, to me, when you see the mania part, makes me think bipolar or, you know, like psychotic or something. And that's just not the case. Do you know what? I don't know if you think that as well. I don't know, part of me wishes there was a different name for it.
And definitely one that's maybe more digestible for people. Like, you know, trichotillomania is like a really long, scary
Oh,
word.
so long.
You know, so it's like, maybe something that like everyone can understand, like what it means and
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I agree. But I do think there's something to be said for because of what I do for a job, if I tell people, I think I'm not saying you should just accept something because someone tells you, but I think there's that kind of level of like, okay, she knows what she's talking about, or at least we think she knows what she's talking about.
what is something you'd like to say to listeners now?
You might figure out that you have this at any point in your life, and it doesn't mean you can't make a change. You're never too old to make a change. And I think that there is a lot of like, you know, really, there's a lot of really bad things happening in the world. And yeah, there are some bad people out there, but I think in general, people are good. And so if you share with them, you might find unexpected allies in people.
Thank you.